Welcome to the eLearning Curve podcast. I'm your host, Michael Hanley. In this edition of the podcast, we're going to look at constructivism. Chris Argyris, Professor Emeritus at Harvard Business School, says, "Any company that aspires to succeed in the tougher business environment must first resolve a basic dilemma. Success in the marketplace increasingly depends on learning, yet most people don't know how to learn. What's more, those members of the organization that many assume to be best at learning are in fact not very good at it." Over the next few podcasts, taking digressions where appropriate, I will examine the significance of his work, focusing in particular on single loop and double loop learning, and on organizational learning systems. In this podcast, however, I will begin by reminding you of the foundation for Chris Argyris's work, which is based on constructivism. Constructivism is an approach to learning based on the premise that cognition is the result of mental construction. It is an active process in which learners construct new ideas, skills, and behaviors based upon their prior and current knowledge, behavior, and skill assets. The learner transforms information, constructs knowledge, and makes decisions based on extant cognitive structures or mental models. These cognitive structures, what Roger Schank calls scripts in his dynamic memory model, provide meaning and organization to experiences and allow the individual to go beyond the information given. Even though there are numerous interpretations of constructivism, several central concepts inhabit all constructivist theories. In 1996, Cunningham and Duffy identified two major similarities that are the foundation of all constructivist thoughts. They are that learning is an active process of constructing rather than acquiring knowledge, and instruction is a process of supporting that construction rather than communicating knowledge. Let's go right back to the beginning. Jerome Bruner described the key principles of constructivism as readiness, spiral organization, including structure and sequence, and finally generation. Extending from these basic constructivist principles, as well as from the work of other key figures in the constructivist school, very much like the multiple approaches and interpretations that exist in constructivism, a number of conditions must be met for the approach to be implemented. It's useful to elaborate briefly on these conditions, as they are relevant to the learning approach. In her comprehensive reference text, Psychology of Learning for Instruction, Driscoll describes constructivism as having multiple roots in psychology and philosophy, among which are the cognitive and developmental perspectives of Piaget, the interactional and cultural emphasis of Vygotsky and Bruner, and the contextual nature of learning, the active learning of Dewey, and the paradigm and scientific revolutions of Thomas Kuhn. Driscoll outlines five conditions for learning. Very much like the multiple approaches and interpretations that exist in constructivism, a number of conditions must be met for the approach to be implemented. The conditions are: first, providing complex learning environments that incorporate authentic activity. Constructivists argue that learners should learn to solve the types of complex problems they will face in real life. Learning how to do this is difficult unless complex and authentic learning environments are available to learners. Secondly, providing for social negotiation. As an integral part of learning, Bruner explains that learning is a cultural interchange between group members. Collaboration creates an opportunity for learners to share their understandings with others and to have others do the same with them. This provides multiple perspectives to each learner, and this negotiation process between peers should lead to enhanced understanding. Third, supporting multiple perspectives and the use of multiple modes of representation. Because learning skills, behaviors, and knowledge can be diverse and complex, constructivists believe that to achieve complete understanding, the learner must examine the material from multiple perspectives. If they are not supported in this endeavor, the learner will achieve only a partial understanding of the material. multiple modes of representation allow the learner to view the same content through different sensory modes. Fourth, nurturing reflexivity. Thomas Duffy and Donald Cunningham characterize reflexivity as the ability of students to be aware of their own role in the knowledge construction process. It could also be described as the learner taking ownership of their own thinking and learning processes. Driscoll asserts that reflexivity, and by extension critical thinking, are central attributes to the constructivist methodology, as it enables learners to understand how and why cognition creates meaning. This enables learners to attain goals such as reasoning, understanding multiple perspectives, and expressing and defending their own beliefs. Finally, the last condition Driscoll describes is to emphasize student-centered instruction. Bruner calls this discovery learning. By obtaining knowledge by themselves, learners select and transform information, construct knowledge, and make decisions in a context of a cognitive structure that provides meaning and allows the individual to go beyond the information given. Students are actively engaged in determining how and what they will study. These principles and conditions position the constructivist approach to learning as an appropriate orientation for learning without frontiers, using technologies like the internet, websites, and virtual learning environments, applying collaborative learning, problem-based learning, and goal-based mechanisms, making open-source software and course and content management systems accessible to learners, and using e-learning applications like online conferencing and collaboration tools that could be the foundation for these multiple constructivist conditions for learning. These characteristics provide an appropriate framework for knowledge workers to learn and for a learning intervention, given that their ongoing development is based on the context of already established cognitive schemata, the knowledge and skills are applied to solve real-world problems, and their expertise or behaviours are typically used in collaboration with their peers to enhance the performance of organisations. Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. Remember, check out the eLearning Curve blog, michaelhanley.ie/eLearningCurve, for more. Talk to you next time.